Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Jaws 2. Jaws 2 is a 1978 American thriller film directed by Janow Swark. Do you reckon that's right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And co-written by Carl Gottlieb.
Yeah, that's easy.
That is correct.
That's correct.
Well.
Awesome. And is the second installment in the Jaws franchise. It is also the topic of the Scaredy Boys' 200th episode.
Oh,
there it is.
Thank you.
There it is.
Thank you.
Yes.
Do you know what's fucked? We've done 200 episodes of Scaredy Boys. Do you know what that means? We've watched at least 200 horror films.
Yeah.
Yep. Minimum.
Yeah.
How fucked is that?
It's disgusting.
That's 200 more than you'd watched 5 years ago.
200 episodes means 200 maximum.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on when you're listening to this.
Have we done bonus?
Oh, you're trying to tell people
bonus episodes?
Oh, no. We are a podcast that records week by week, sir.
Well, no, what if
I've only watched 200 films.
What if 2 years from now, right, you're actually listening to our 350th episode and you're like, oh, I missed the 200th.
Well, we wait for that person to catch up.
Okay, we'll stop.
And then we record 100 episodes in a week.
Yeah, that's right. In a week, 2 days, baby.
Because Tom... Every listener is our most important listener.
Yes.
Especially you listening to this right now.
You're driving your car right now. These words are coming directly
for you.
Into your ears.
You're on the train. Are people too close to you? Punch them in the dick.
If someone else on your train carriage has headphones in and is chuckling along to a podcast, they could be listening as well.
Just assume.
It's your duty to kill them.
If you're lying in bed right now listening to us talk, you're a psychopath.
If you use us as the music to put on when you are making sweet love to your partner, I can get behind that.
Yes, we love that. We hope those thrusts are going really good right now. I'm hoping for some A-grade thrusting happening.
I can't believe we're getting to 200 episodes and then we're immediately cancelling the show right now after this section.
Well, I'm not shocked that things got a little horny there because there are sharks involved.
I mean, come on.
And we've now had, I believe,
100
episodes of knowing that Tom's a shark fighter.
Can I say this? There was a fin sticking out of the water.
Yeah.
There was another fin in the room when we were watching this. Someone was tenting pretty badly over on the couch.
Did the shark fucker joke start at Jaws?
I feel like it did.
I feel like it was a 100th episode little treat for Sean and I.
Because I feel like there was the episode Deep Water was when we unlocked my shark fact.
When you were a shark boy, and then I think it took us until we did Jaws to finally get the admission out of you that you had indeed, had sex with a shark.
I've never had sex with a shark. Whoa, I just want that clear.
Hang on, you can't.
I've never had sex with a shark.
Sorry.
Well, I mean,
made love to a shark.
No, fuck.
Sorry, made love. Yeah, made steamy, passionate love.
Yeah, I've never done that. But that's
okay. Oh, okay. I thought you admitted to it on the 100th show.
No, I don't think I did.
I'll have to go back and listen to that because I believe it's in writing.
Yeah. No, what I want to say is I want to say a sentence, but I know that with editing, you can take out one word of that sentence. Yeah,
it's a miracle you're not banned from the ocean.
Banned from the ocean.
We were in the ocean yesterday.
Yeah. Do we want to share that
story?
Probably
should.
Yeah.
Damo and I,
we're
not shark boys. Tom, I found on this trip in particular, I always just thought he's a shark boy. He seems to be at all an aquatic boy.
Tom has admitted when he dies, he will become an ocean spirit.
Yeah.
Yes. Like Trish from Barb and Star.
Like Trish, yeah, exactly.
We're on a little Scaredy retreat, celebrating 200 of the best.
Oh,
well done, boys.
Just again.
Oh, come on. Why not?
Why not?
Woo! Bit of a heat wave. We went for a swim. We've gone for a few swims, actually. Yeah. We've gone for more swims on this single trip than we have in all the years we've been coming down here.
Yeah.
It's usually, to be fair, it's I don't think we've ever gone for a swim while we've been
down. Yeah, so we're usually more fire boys than swim boys on the retreat, but we embraced our inner swim, and it's been absolutely gorgeous.
Damo and I locked eyes with a little... I don't want to call it a small stingray.
Yeah.
I want to say it was medium size.
No, it was small.
Size of a dinner plate.
If you say small, I think people are going to be like, oh, tiny little thing. It was...
No, it was about the size of a plate.
Dinner plate?
Yeah. Like a large dinner plate. Like one of those restaurants you go to and you're like, geez, these serves are enormous.
Yeah, I'll go
I
think it was, Tom. I think don't call it small because then you're giving people the wrong idea.
I think it's small, but that's all right.
In your mind, it was a small non-threat because Damon and I were very like aware of its presence and where it was. And you were like, oh, that's awesome.
I was following it around.
Yeah. Yeah,
you you really were. Yeah.
I thought Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're Australians, so we know that Steve Irwin... Killed by stingray.
Quite tragically died by stingray.
I'm on high alert around stingray.
I just got to go into bat for the stingray here that killed Steve Irwin, which I never thought is a sentence I would say on a podcast.
Yeah, okay.
But here we are. Going into bat for Steve Irwin, stingray killer, the stingray.
He's going
to
defend the Nazis.
They're very docile creatures.
Yeah.
They will attack if you grab them or if they're threatened.
Or if you, can I clarify, if you step on them.
Maybe.
This thing was around our feet, mate. Mm. So that's why we're cautious. We don't want to step on it and get stung.
Correct.
Yes, but also you won't die because the circumstances surrounding Irwin's death were that he was sort of doing what he does with creatures.
Can
I just
say?
Stabbed him in the chest.
You don't have to be scared of dying. You can just be scared of pain. Oh, and 100%. Getting hurt.
But you wouldn't have died. It would have hurt a little bit, but you would have been fine.
It's kind of.
It also was so small. I don't think it was mature enough to have a stinger.
Here's the thing. On dry land,
yeah.
If I see a dog, I'm kind of aware of the behaviors of dogs.
Yeah.
I understand them. I kind of know how to avoid any trouble.
Right.
Out there in the ocean, that's their world.
That's their, we're in their territory now.
I don't want to piss it off in any way. I love that, David. That's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Tom said, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And it took us a little while to shake
it
off
that. It
took
until we saw a family sort of, I don't know, 20 meters away from us go, oh, look, little stingray. And we're like, okay, it's outside of our vicinity.
Yeah.
Great. Happy
then
days.
Then we could calm down again.
Yeah.
Then I had a moment where Tom pointed out a bit of a shape moving through the water and was like, that's just seaweed. And I looked and there was like a long,
there was a lot of dark seaweed.
Sort of shape.
Yeah.
Long seaweed. Yeah. Long seaweed. And I was like, all right. And then probably not a minute later.
Yeah.
Enormous stingray.
I go, wow, that's a big stingray.
Can I say, not the biggest I've seen.
Biggest I've seen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably the
in
biggest
real
I've
life,
seen.
Yeah.
Definitely the biggest I've been closest to.
No, I've seen
standing
bigger
in the water
close
with.
To bigger. Oh, okay. Go down to like Port Arlington, Queensland for the boat dock there. There's fucking massive one.
Yeah, but was it right under your feet?
Yeah.
Because that was...
You sit on the dock with your feet in the water.
Too close for comfort. And I will not afraid to say, three boys were like, I reckon we're done. I reckon it's beer o'clock.
Oh, look, my hands are pretty pruny. Time to get out.
And even aquatic boy went... That'll probably do.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
To be fair, I was like, that's a bigger one. Yeah.
It we're also, in Steve Irwin area.
It also
if the other one was a dinner plate, what size was this?
Give us a fucking family feast. It was huge. I can't even tell you how big it
like
was.
Like a couch cushion size. I'm trying to
think. Yeah, I reckon
of,
like one of those couch cushions over
whatever
there.
You have in mind when we say an enormous stingray, that's
smaller.
How big it was.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Whatever you have in mind when we say enormous stingray, it was smaller than that, but still pretty big.
This prick.
You're a maniac.
No, but you don't, like, they get so big.
Can I tell you something that happened?
They get so much bigger than that.
This morning, scrolling on the Instagram feed, saw a stingray video.
Okay.
And it was a stingray jumping out of the water like a dolphin.
That's awesome.
Have you ever seen that? I didn't know they could do that.
Yeah.
I've got to find, I'll show you this video later. I've got to find it. A huge one. Did a full jump out of the water.
Oh, manta rays do that.
And then when it landed back in the, I don't know, the caption said it was a stingray, so I'm gonna believe it.
Yeah, manta rays do that.
Got
as
up
well.
Like Free Willy, back in. And when it got in, it moved so quick. I was like, I didn't even know they could move that quick. That's fucking crazy. Because yesterday when it swam past us, I'm like, all right, if we just
glide
slowly
by.
Get our way out of here, we'll be fine. It could have hunted us down if it
So they don't eat meat, so they wouldn't have done that. It doesn't have teeth.
It's got a stinger, mate.
Yeah, again,
it's a hunt. I didn't say it's going to eat our dick. It's going to sting us so the dick drops off. It's going to Ken Dollars.
It's not going to Ken Dollars, mate.
I think they can.
I don't think they can.
Ask Steve Irwin.
I can't. He's dead.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Also, I want to just
clarify. The warning of nature in the ocean.
For people who, because there was the issue with the Steve Irwin thing, there was a massive spate of people then going out and killing stingrays.
Oh, did that happen?
Yeah. Big time.
Well, like for revenge.
Don't do that.
Yeah, like as in, oh, we've got to make the water safer.
Or as in like, oh, they killed the unkillable wild man. We've got to get
They killed
him out
the man
of the water.
Who beat up crocodiles all the time. Again, his thing was he got hit in the heart.
Yes, the actual heart.
And then pulled the stinger out. And the issue was pulling it out because they're hooked, so it rips.
Yeah.
It's like when you get like a wound, like something goes into your skin, people often say, don't pull it out.
Leave it
like
in.
If you can just like patch around it, put pressure on it and go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't think the stingray was as big as is being implied here.
Just, mate, just let us have this one. It was a big, big motherfucker.
All right, 200 F's. Okay. It was a big stingray.
It was
thank
big.
Thank you.
This guy. Let's buy him another haunted painting.
Yeah, let's get him fucking six haunted paintings.
Get you a stingray painting.
A haunted one?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd like that.
I'd put that up.
Yeah, there you go. Put it in your bathroom.
Well, that's the trick. We go, if they're...
I don't want to see any paint on the walls in your bathroom. I just want to see painting, just wall to wall, just haunted, completely haunted.
Oh, boys. So Jaws 2.
Jaws 2, yes.
Just when you thought it was safe to get back in the water.
It's a great tagline. It's brilliant. It's the tagline that I thought was actually for Jaws.
Righto, yeah.
But it makes more sense for it to be for Jaws 2. Yeah, it does a bit, doesn't it? But I think the only other tag on that probably comes close is "In space, no one can hear you scream."
That's very good.
But yeah, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, juicy.
Because Jaws fucked people up.
Yeah, people fucked up the waters.
Beach. Mm. It's changed my life. I'll never the furthest out. Never. Did you notice when we were having a chat in the water last night, there were times when I would do a bit of a loop around? I know you're onto it. He doesn't miss a thing in the water.
No. He's the radar. It's
the only time when he's 100,000% switched on.
Yeah.
When water touches Tom's skin, suddenly he's like got an IQ of 7,000.
He goes from like a 5% switched on to the full 100.
It's because I'm better in the water.
Yeah.
I'm sharper.
As soon as he's wet.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, he's on. Yeah.
That's why I have all my best ideas in the shower, in the pool, in the bath. Put my head in a bucket.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you an office in the ocean somehow.
Just a floating desk.
Yeah, floating
desk. I'd be so good.
Yeah.
I'd be so productive.
Yeah. You'd be so with it.
I think also like no phone.
Yeah, well, there's that too, actually.
No distractions except the beautiful sea.
Yeah. Speaking of the beautiful sea, Jaws 2.
Not a stinker.
No. But it was interesting because I think, Shauna, you said this before where you're like, obviously Jaws was the first sort of blockbuster.
Tommy was talking about this.
Oh, sorry, Tommy was saying this.
First big blockbuster. And then so this is the first sort of studio cash grab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very funny. So a bit of a troubled production where like there was originally a script. And I can't remember the director and a writer who were attached who'd sort of adapted it. And the idea was that it's years later, but Amity never recovered.
Yeah. The whole shark thing financially crippled the community.
Yeah, which I wish it had.
Which is a cool idea.
That's cool.
And I think the original idea was something to do with Brody's son and Quint's son coming back to team up to take out a shark.
Right.
And then the next idea was like, oh, Brody's still there, but the town's basically trying to get itself back up off the ground through a condominium sale, which is kind of a plot in two.
Yeah, it sort of starts off strong. You're like, oh, this is going to be our 4th of July weekend where they're opening the condominiums. We can't possibly have a shark thing. And then it kind of just falls to the wayside.
Yeah, it was very troubled production, a lot of redos. They reached out to Spielberg and he was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
He said a nightmare time on the first.
Yeah, he said if it had have been easier, he might have said yes.
Right.
But I think he also has a thing where he's like, I think sequels are reductive. He's like, why would I do another shark movie when I've already done the shark movie? Was his quote. Roy Scheider did not want to come back either.
Bad move from Spielberg. His career just never hit the heights again.
No, it was all downhill from there.
Never won an Oscar or made any movies that blew people's dicks into the ceiling.
What's his name? I can't even remember. Unbelievable.
I think it's Steven.
Steven.
Roy didn't want to come back. There was a lot of issues with studio interference. Mm. They brought another guy in. Carl Gottlieb came back in. The script got rewritten a lot.
Well, do you know why the director got fired at one point?
Yeah, he claimed that he wanted... The president's wife was in the movie of the studio.
Right.
And they wanted her to have a bigger part. And the director said no.
And they fired him.
Do
you know who that actress is?
Who is it?
Okay, because I wanted to look because there was a few... I'm trying to guess the whole way through because famously, the president got his wife into acting it. So I'm like, all right, who's the shittest sort of female character
in this? We thought it was the shark scientist.
It's Brody's wife.
Is it really?
I think she's the best.
Wow.
So like that rattled me. I was like, what?
She does have more to do in this.
She does. Yeah, but like, I think she's an all right actress. Like, I love her scenes in the first one. And in this one, she has the best stuff. Her and Brody, when they're on screen together, I'm like, this is good. Yeah. I like this.
The same when Brody gets fired. I could have really
sworn
beautiful.
It was going to be that shark expert that showed up for one scene and had no charisma whatsoever. No, it was just a terrible character.
Yeah, very odd choice.
Not her, it was Brody's wife.
Amazing.
Crazy. So that's why when he finds out about the shark and the kids, she's on the boat with him.
Right.
That's the scene that the director got fired for because he was like, she's not coming on the boat. There's no way Brody would let her out on the boat with him.
Right.
So the producer stepped, or the president, producer, whoever it was, stepped in and said, nah, new director, my wife's in this scene.
She's in the boat.
Yeah. She's in it for a bit, but then he still does go off on his own.
Yes.
Yeah. But he ditches so she's her, in it more than they intended.
Right.
Crazy so bizarre. Because I think she's good.
The other favorite thing I love is the new director they brought in when they were like, we'll hide the shark. Because that was the whole thing. Because in the first film, you don't see the shark at all. Partly for technical things, but partly because Steven's like, no, you got to hold the shark off.
Yeah.
This guy was like, well, we could never recreate the tension and the dread of the first one. So
we didn't bother to try?
Literally. He just was like, no, you're seeing it all the time.
What's that thing you told me about Johnny Williams' score? Because I'm watching this movie and there are parts of it that just don't have any music and the editing is not tight.
Mm.
And I'm just like, What's going on in this fucking movie?
The shooting schedule was delayed for multiple reasons. New director, reshoots, issues with the shark, issues with the weather, all sorts of shit. And John Williams had a deadline and he had to finish the score before the movie was done.
Yep.
So there are that's why there are whole segments with no music. Amazing. And it doesn't work. Anyway, it's a troubled production. It's not an amazing film. I will say this, the last act, it really gets going once the kids are stranded out on the sailing boat.
Yeah, it kind of just takes a while too long to get to there. Figure out what story it actually wants to tell, I think. Yeah.
Can I make a call? You could re-edit this film, trim it down to a tight 90,
yes,
and add John Williams' music back into the bits that weren't and really tighten the editing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a better film.
100%. Yeah, yeah.
It's got a bit of bloat to it.
Yeah.
And it's so obvious because music in Jaws is so iconic. Mm. So it becomes really obvious when scenes just don't have any in it.
Yeah.
And they're tense scenes, like scenes of Brody and his wife running to the boat and getting the boat ready and taking the boat out. And it's just like, just silence.
Yeah,
just
kind
of even scenes on the sailboat.
Sound design that's up to par. Yeah, like so weird.
They spend all this time trying to get you to like the kids, but they don't spend enough time getting you to know the kids.
Don't know any of the kids' names except for the two sons.
You don't actually identify with them until they're lost. That's when they become compelling and I start to care about
them. Become characters. And they also become, up until then, it's literally one no character. We've got a nerd who looks like Napoleon Dynamite.
Yep.
We've
his got friend.
The mayor's son the only line we've had is him insulting a woman's appearance.
Yeah, the curly head guy who seems like a fuckhead bully at the start. Right. He's kind of like a nice friend as well.
Yeah. And it's funny once they're out on the water.
You get the one note thing at the start, and then the movie's like, don't care about them, don't care about them, don't care about them. And then at the end, it's like, we'll have another crack again for you to understand who they are. And it's like, it's too late.
Yeah. It kind of got me a bit closer, like mostly because then we're seeing them act against their one note character. Yeah. So like, big beef.
Larry saves, like pulls Sean out of the water. Yeah. Like
starts giving him little kisses because he loves him so much.
Too many smooches.
Maybe too many.
It's after yelling at him. Which
one would have been okay, but like he gave him like.
Grab the rope, damn it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, was he like, I'm going to beat your ass if you don't grab that rope. No, it's so weird too because it also takes a long time for the shark to, like, the director's like, oh yeah, we want to use the shark, you know, and sequel bigger, better. There's not a lot of shark. I feel like the shark kills aren't amazing in this.
This is a weirdly, like, the stakes in this do not feel anywhere near as huge as the first one. Because the townspeople, like in the first one, it's all like everyone's invested in this whole shark thing. Everyone's losing their mind. In this, it's like suppression. It's like, Brody, you're a fucking idiot. And it's sort of just picking off kids. So, but not even that many times. And it's kind of, at no point does the community really even become aware that there's a shark problem.
No,
this
it
time.
Kills the two divers at the start who are going to the Orca. They get attacked.
And the ones with the camera.
And that's the one with the camera.
Yeah.
Then it attacks the water skiers.
Yep.
They're dead. The next sighting is the guy who gets the embolism, but he doesn't die.
Right.
It doesn't even attack him. He just gets so scared he shoots out of the water.
Yeah.
It then doesn't attack anybody until they go out onto the sailboats and then it attacks Tina and her boyfriend.
Yeah. The mayor has a really interesting scene where he says something to Brody about, like, we have heaps of deaths out on the water.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So what? And it's kind of like, wait, why have you got so many deaths? What's going on?
How
man?
Is he still the mayor?
Yeah, I can't believe he's still baffling. The mayor. Yes, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Also, the movie reaches a point with him where it doesn't care anymore. Brody gets fired, and then is the mayor even in it anymore?
No, literally,
I don't think he is. Yeah. And like, he kind of should be because his son. This is the kind of movie where the mayor should be out on the boat with Brody at the end to save both their kids.
Yeah. Well, that could have been interesting.
But they don't care about the mayor. He's such an underused character, but at the same time, when he is used, he's so fucking annoying and frustrating.
Well, like, apparently there's even scenes cut out where, when Brody comes in with a photo and shows the council the photo. So apparently there were scenes that were cut out both before and sort of after that scene where he's defending Brody.
Okay.
And so they're ready to fire him before he even brings the photo in. He's like, no, like, obviously he got us through a hard time, blah, blah, blah. And then apparently they do. We get a scene where they do the vote. Do we think it's a shark? And he says, "Yeah, I think it's a shark."
See, I love this actually because they do.
You
have
need
that
in the movie. They do have this bond. Cut some of the fluff at the start. Give me that shit.
They do have this bond from the first film.
Yeah,
I actually would have liked that, and then would have liked him to be the only one who supports Brody and will team up with him and then go save their
as
kids.
Well as we kind of see the I love the idea of the town being crippled from the events of the first one, which we don't obviously get, but the idea of the events of the first one affecting these characters. So for Brody, I would have actually liked it if he was seeing sharks at every turn.
Yes.
That he's a bit traumatized and he's like on the alert always to the point that when they kind of finally go, we need to fire this guy, it's like, yeah, maybe you kind of do. Like, he's been the boy who cried wolf too many
times.
Fuck
him up so he doesn't want to be on the water anymore.
Right. He's terrified.
He just doesn't
want
to do it.
Yeah.
And I really wish the mayor was. I wish the mayor would have quit from being mayor.
Right.
Had a backbone and gone out to save his kid. Mm.
And to see the mayor, which again, these scenes that they cut out, I actually think that's a nice sort of, in the first one, all he cared about was his 4th of July, getting the tourists in, blah, blah, blah. Whereas, like, no, now he's learned his lesson. That's all he cared about. And then people got killed and this shark committed chaos. And so now he's ready to not do that. He's actually ready to become, like, the events of the first one made him a better mayor. Like,
yeah. He's just a nothing character.
No.
He's a really frustrating one.
Do you know one of the subplots from the destroyed draft is the whole condominium thing is actually funded by the mafia. And that's why he's desperate to get the condominiums up, because otherwise he'll get killed by the mafia.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, put that back in there. Give me something with this guy. This is
such a confused film.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess. But again, the back half is really strong.
Yeah.
Once those kids get trapped out on the water, the movie goes up several levels. Yes. And the stakes out there are quite exciting.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get the raft to stay together. They're on such flimsy boats. Mm. They get sort of picked off one by one. Why don't they start paddling? And then they're like, don't paddle. That'll attract the shark. Like, all these little elements that sort of click into place are really interesting. And the stakes become real. Unfortunately, there's no music for most of it. And then people die, but you don't care about them enough. Like that death of the Marge who saved the Sean.
Oh, yeah.
That should be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But you
don't know her.
You don't learn her name, I think, until then.
Right.
It's a full-on death to it. She just gets swallowed whole.
They invest a lot of time, screen time, on Tina.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting choice.
Yes.
And whatever her boyfriend's character's name is, when he gets taken, that camera lingers on her for so long.
Oh, my God,
it's asking her to do too much.
Yep. Yeah. Beyond her capabilities.
I think she's just whispering, please go away. Yeah. Please go away.
Because she's whispering mummy, isn't she?
Yeah, mummy, yeah.
That's so crazy. Yeah.
It's what's very funny about him swimming to get back to the boat and the way where the shark is at that point is the shark's dragged her and swum off.
Yeah.
And then she's turning around and coming back. She's like, you got to swim. You got to get here faster. And normally what would be happening is the person would be swimming and the fin would be coming towards them. What's so fucked about that is that in order to get to the boat, he's got to swim towards the shark, which is beelining for him. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I reckon the Great White's faster than him.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
Actually a cool setup, though. I don't mind that. But when they show that shot, he's so far away.
There's
like,
zero
not
chance.
Even really tension here because he's not going to get there. There's no chance. The shark's going to cover that distance in 2 seconds. Yes, you're fucked, mate.
Yeah, do you want to find shark facts from the movie?
Sorry to cut off shark facts.
Okay.
Did the shark push Tina's boat into him?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
No, he pushes him into Tina's
boat.
Yeah,
grabs him and he pulls into the side of the bat.
That actually was pretty good.
Help me, and then gets pulled underneath.
That was pretty good. And Tom, give me the shark fact.
Well, so while filming the raft scene where they're trapped out on the sailing boats, they're on there and the crew are floating on another boat to do like long shots. And apparently the kids started being circled by an actual shark.
Holy shit.
Like a hammerhead shark just started doing reps around them. And they're panicking and trying to get the crew's attention. And the crew just think they're staying in character. And just didn't come over for ages.
They have like a fucking safe word or something.
Yeah,
like,
wow.
Imagine if like they'd been attacked.
It was 78, so you know.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. Is that footage in the movie of the kids actually being terrified?
You think probably would be. I reckon it's one of the bits where the helicopter's like coming in and they're waving frantically, maybe.
What a cursed film shoot. Can we talk positive?
Yeah.
Shark looks fucking great.
Yeah, I agree. So like I wanted to ask about that fact Tom mentioned before where they're like, let's just show the shark early. We can't do what Jaws did because Jaws did it, which I got to say, I get. Like, imagine coming in and going, hey, we want you to redo Jaws and somehow manage to pull off what they did in the first one. Yeah. You're like, I can't do that. People are, again, this is the problem with like, for films like this where you come in after the fact, you're like, you've got to be bigger, you've got to be badder, you've got to, you know. So I don't mind the idea of them showing the shark early and going like, well, you already know what this thing is. It's fucking terrifying. So
that was sort of his point, the filmmaker's point.
Which I think that's fine. I kind of agree with
that. But they kind of don't do enough.
I said this to you guys. So John Williams' score, the iconic Jaws theme, is iconic for a reason.
Right.
It's one of the greats. It's redundant for me, like, the more you hear it.
Okay.
So even it comes up a couple times in this movie, I'm like, this is where I wish franchises didn't exist and Jaws was just a single thing that existed and was perfect and that's it. Because every time I hear that now, maybe it's like now, years and years, decades later,
right,
when you hear that song, you're like, oh, no, that one. Like, I know what it is.
Yeah, sure.
Heard
yeah,
it too many
but
times.
When you watch it in the first Jaws and it's in that opening bit, which is the shark cam, you get the slow build. You know what's the really, you know the best part of that score is that's that theme. It's not the Dern Ernst stuff.
Yeah,
it's the horns. It's the little.
Oh, mate,
that's the best shit about it.
Yeah, you're talking about the first one. I'm saying the first one's fucking brilliant. What I mean is, when I'm going to hear it in Jaws 2, 3, 4, doesn't have the same magic. Just do it one time.
Yeah.
It was great in Jaws 1. We didn't need a franchise.
We didn't.
Although I read a little bit about what the third one is. Do you guys know about this?
Yep.
No.
You know about it?
Yep.
I don't.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look out for that.
Share the class, Sean.
So Roy's not in it.
Right.
But his wife's the lead.
Oh.
And gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, interesting.
A little bit of spoilers for number 3 for anyone who doesn't want to hear this. Pretty sure the youngest son is killed at the start of the movie by a shark. Mum wants to, like, get her life back together in the aftermath of that. She's grieving. Moves.
Do we know where Roy is?
I don't know if it gets mentioned. I'm sure it'll get mentioned in the movie, but I don't know what happened to him. Mum moves to a completely different place. That same shark that killed her son follows her and terrorizes that community and tries to kill her there. That's... And then Michael Caine's in it. He's fourth billed, so I assume he plays like the Quint role. He's got some cooked name. Right. I can't remember what it is, but I think she's going to team up with him.
Jaws 3, the Revenge the is what it's called, isn't it?
Apparently, I think the revenge is the shark wanting revenge.
No, I'm pretty sure the theory, like the sort of thing is that it is the mother of the shark from the first film.
The mother of the shark.
Oh, so it's a mother coming up against mother story.
I think.
See, I kind of love this. Yeah. I'm sure it's a piece of shit. I think on Letterboxd it's like a 1.7 out of 5.
Well, like you look at them all like, I'm just going by the IMDb ratings. Right. Which, you know, give or take. Same with Letterboxd, I suppose. Yeah. But, you know, Jaws is like 8.1 or something.
Right.
Yeah. Jaws 2 is 5.
Yeah.
Jaws 3 is 3. And Jaws 3D is like 2.8.
Oh, so it's Jaws 3D, the fourth film.
Yes.
So there is no Jaws 4. No. It's just Jaws 3D.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that still floating around, that movie?
Probably.
Okay.
The thing I love about Jaws...
Look, we might discover all of them.
Hey, yep. the best fact about Jaws 3 is that Michael Caine not being at the Oscars when he won his Oscar. And I asked him, do you regret... Because he was filming Jaws 3. Do you regret filming Jaws 3 because you couldn't accept the Oscar when you won an Oscar? And he's like... No, because I look at the beach house of that movie.
Yeah. Terrific answer.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
The shark. So there's a scene in this pretty early on where the shark gets blown up, essentially catches fire, and it has those scars for the rest
amazing.
Of the movie. They look brilliant. I think that's a really cool design. The first time we saw that, it was like, oh, fuck yeah.
And again, could have looked dopey and trashy and shit. Yeah. Kind of works.
It's cool. Yeah, and I liked it. I didn't hate seeing more of it because you're right. You can't really beat that. And a lot of the underwater
stuff. But I wanted more, if that makes sense.
Tom, would you say the underwater stuff is just like underwater shark documentary?
Well, no, it is. It's at the end of the movie, it's the same couple. They're an Australian couple.
Yeah,
Ron Taylor and Veronica Taylor, I think. I'll double check that. But it's the same couple, and they did a lot of the underwater like shark footage for the first film as well.
Yeah. I wonder, given the time period this was made, if they are the couple that Peter Matheson worked with.
Possibly.
For that book that you've got.
I want to look up Ron Taylor because I'm trying to think if he's the guy. That's Rodney Fox. Rodney Fox, who became, he's a South Australian guy, became a big advocate for protecting sharks after he was nearly killed by a great white shark. He was in a spearfishing competition in the 70s off the coast of South Australia, and a great white came along and was like, those fish on your rope, I fucking want them.
Yum, yum,
did
yum.
He lose a leg?
No. Bit him.
Okay, there's a guy that this happened to recently who is also now an advocate.
Yeah.
So he's lost a leg or an arm.
This guy got bitten here, and there's photos of him where he's like holding his arm up, and you can see the bite marks, and it's basically across his whole chest and back. And he punched it, put his thumb in its eye, let him go. He started swimming up to the surface, came back around again, had another go, pulled him back down.
Yeah.
He's finally escaped, and the boat's picked him up.
Wow.
Is it interesting behavior that it had another go?
Well, because he was bleeding, I think. Right. And it was he had a line
just
full
of fish. It got too horny for blood.
I think he had a line full of fish.
There you go.
And that was his thing. He's like, and his whole thing, people were like, we're going to go out and kill that shark. And he's like, don't. Yeah. I was in its territory.
I was
eating its food.
Right.
Protect him. So now the Rodney Fox Society exists. Anyway, that's cool. Some shark facts for
shark
you.
Shark fact.
Woo.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Woo. Let me ask our question then. Were we scared?
No. There's a little bit of tension at the very end in that sort of sequence where they're trying to get to the rocks. They're on the raft. There's a bit of tension there, but for the most part, No, there's none of the dread. Oh, there's one jump scare that's very
I think there's a few good moments where all of a sudden, like, you're kind of aware the shark's around, but they kind of do the, like a jump scare, but it's just like, boom, it's there. And you're like, whoa, okay, I thought we were going to get it a few moments later or something like that, which I like because now having had our stingray experience, you can be like, all right, ocean's fine. Oh, ocean, not fine.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that it's just because, if it's down slightly deep, you're not seeing it. And then it can shoot up and boom, there it is in your face.
Yeah.
So I thought they had a few good moments where it was just like the timing of it kind of worked, which was rare in this movie because some of the timing was awful.
I think for shark movies, it's such a free hit that anytime someone's just scrambling to just get out of the water, I'm kind of always on the edge of my seat in that moment.
Yes.
Even if the shark's not close.
Yeah.
It could be close.
I think it's like right a large part of why sharks are so terrifying.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's the size of
ambush predators. Yeah.
They're exactly right. And because you are in their territory and because your visibility is fucked, you can't hear them, you can't see them, you can't smell them. Like, there is really no way up until they're right on you that you actually know exactly where they are.
They are an interesting movie monster in that all you got to do is get out of the water.
Yes.
And then all good. Unless you're in a tiny boat and it can rip through the boat. But, like, you know what I mean? If you're in the water at the beach and there's the shark, you get out of the water.
Yep.
Everything's fine now.
Yeah.
The monster can't get me.
That's why, literally as a movie monster, they always put an obstacle between getting out of the water and the shark.
Yeah.
God, we got to watch The Shallows, I think.
Yeah.
You've seen it?
No.
Well, you haven't seen it?
No.
And you haven't seen it?
No.
All right.
Okay. I have. Year of Passion.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. It's not the masterpiece, but it's a good time.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Outside of Jaws, they never are.
Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? Like, we think about it. How many good shark movies are there?
One.
Yeah.
Two.
Well, which one are you thinking? Are you thinking Deep Blue Sea?
I'm thinking, for you, Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, I wouldn't say it's like a, it's not a Jaws level movie though, clearly.
Okay,
it's,
so that's the
Rennie, it's a Rennie Harlan movie.
Bates probably with Shani Vincent.
Bates 3D.
Sorry, there are two masterpieces.
Yes, of course. Something else that didn't scare me, but man, it bothered me because the part of the first one that was so good is not just our lead, who is terrific, but the two side characters where you've got, what is it?
Quentin Hopper.
Yeah, they're both terrific. Richard Dreyfuss is amazing, and whoever played Quentin, I'm blanking on his name.
I'm blanking on his name too.
Robert something.
But either way, he was off the chain.
Big alcoholic.
Yes, he was literally, he brought his real life into the performance. It was fantastic. For this one, it's got a lot of side characters.
They're all shit.
They're all forgettable.
Yeah.
Completely. Other than his wife, but then again,
Robert Shaw.
Thank you. Yeah, and I feel like that's what it needed. Kind of tried to with like the sort of, oh, shucks, other detective who was on the...
He's a weak character.
He's a very weak
character. That shark scientist who is like the Hopper replacement for one scene.
Please.
That was such a shit scene.
Yeah, that was awful, man.
I was like, please, I hope she's not in the movie.
And then even the kids, there wasn't like really one standout.
No, the kids didn't stand out, did they? The youngest son is kind of a nothing character.
Yeah, yeah.
The oldest one has like a few little beats, but nothing to grab onto, really.
He's pretty vanilla. Like, he's not really anything, you know.
It was weird that the handling of the kids is so strange.
I agree with Tom. I actually think this almost tried to do too many things where it's like, we've got to have the big town thing, so the condominiums. We've got to have Brody like needing to convince people because that's what he did in the first one. Where I actually think if they'd gone smaller, if they'd just gone, these kids are out there, one of them is related to Brody. Brody's slowly starting to get a suspicion. He hasn't even taken to anybody yet. And then sure enough, fuck, they're in trouble. And we could have had like maybe even 50% of the movie of just them out on the water, him trying to get there, the boat, the sharks, all of it. Like, I really think it actually needed to, rather than try to go bigger, it actually needed to bring it in a bit.
They'd already done the big thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They'd already done the town ending stakes.
Yes.
Now let's go smaller.
Yeah.
And they kind of did, I guess, because they didn't try and bring the town into it. The only time the town's in it is when Brody goes insane on the beach.
Yes. Cyanide bullets.
And starts shooting at the water when a kid wasn't even that far past his gun.
Yeah, yeah.
Just at the sight of him running through the beach with his gun waving around wildly, it's like, you've gone insane. And it's like you said earlier, Damo, you needed to thread that through. If he's seen sharks, he's having nightmares, he doesn't want to go near the water.
Yes.
It's really rattled him, his experience. Yeah. But they didn't do any of that stuff.
Right. So again, where if it's like that's more his arc than trying to convince people there's another shark in town. And then, what gets it? Both his sons are out on the water being hunted by the shark.
Yeah.
Great. Now he's got to face his fear.
His scene, right, where everyone on the beach is kind of like shaking their head at him and disappointed. Yeah. That doesn't even really land properly because the movie, like, there was a point in it where I questioned, so is he like a hero from the events of the last movie?
You think
he would
be. And
at some point we see a statue or something where he's man of the year. Man of the year or whatever.
Right.
But he doesn't get treated with that reverence around the town. No. Like, there's no difference to how he was treated at the start of the first
one. Not at all, no.
So it's kind of like, it should be up here. Like, when he comes to them and says, there's a shark issue.
Yeah.
People should be like, we're going to listen because you're essentially a war hero.
And then you undermine him by him being wrong.
Yeah. Right. And then it's a greater downfall.
Yeah.
But it's kind of just a bit of a nothing thing.
Yeah.
And we get that nice scene, which I think is probably the nicest scene in the movie, where he comes home drunk, he's been fired, and he sits down and has that heart-to-heart with his wife.
Right.
That's a nice scene.
He's too damn drunk.
There you go. He was watching.
Yeah, yeah.
That was when he was deep in fucking research mode.
Yes, yes.
Well, I was trying to work out, I'm pretty sure that one of the nerdy kids is reading Peter Tonkin's Killer, a book about a killer whale.
Yeah. Did you find anything?
I couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
But it looks like it is. It could just be Jaws.
Why don't you watch it again and just pause it and have a look?
There's also a chance he's just reading Jaws.
Could be.
Because it's that same black pulpy. Right.
It'd be pretty funny if he was reading The Killer, because that's one that people have been like, Jaws is shit. The Killer is the good shark book.
Yeah.
You've read both, Tom. Where do you stand?
I like them both. Okay. Killer's very different.
Yeah.
Killer's got a lot more, like, Killer's a book where every paragraph you're like, oh, okay. Fuck, something's going on again. Also, there's chapters from the perspective of the killer whale.
If I'm someone who's interested in reading a book about sharks,
yes,
a shark book,
yeah,
would you lead me in the path of Jaws or The Killer?
Well, Killer's about a killer whale, so I wouldn't lead you there.
Okay.
At all.
Okay.
There's no sharks in it.
All right, damn.
All right, what about just predatory ocean animals?
Well,
shenanigans on the water.
I'd probably get you to watch a doco or a movie or read a non-fiction book.
I'm not understanding the question.
He's getting paid by both camps here.
I'm always a shark boy.
Big book's got its claws in
this guy. I'll always say shark.
That is the definitive word. Right. He's a shark boy.
So you hate Free Willy?
No.
Okay.
I just prefer Jaws, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I like sharks more, but I would be like, don't get your... If you want to know more about sharks, don't read Jaws.
Right.
Watch, there's a great David Attenborough documentary that's just about great whites in South Africa. That's really great. I can't remember what that one's called.
They're absolutely pumping in South Africa, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a lot of them there.
Yeah.
It's a big part of the feeding. A lot of fur seals.
Mm, right.
That's where Mick Fanning punched his shark. Yeah. Was in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a lot there. There's also another really great David Attenborough documentary about killer whales called Wolves of the Sea.
Ooh, I watched that. I think because of Free Willy, I was probably more of a killer whale boy.
Yeah.
Jaws, I didn't want to go near as a kid.
No, too scary.
Also,
too scary.
For all the the shark killer whale people, if you know things about sharks and or killer whales, Jaws 2 sets up that this shark is a beast.
Yeah.
Because it kills a killer whale. Whereas usually that's the other way around.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is killer whales have been known to attack sharks and just eat their livers and stuff, or like just organs, and then just leave the rest of the shark. They'll just bite a bit out of it.
Wow.
They're fucking insane.
They have a taste for the delicacies.
Yeah. It's my favorite thing is killer whales sinking private boats, like big super yachts
and
eating rich people.
Yeah, amazing.
They are great. Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
There's a lot of dumb decisions being made in this film.
Quite a lot.
Brody's like wise, but then he makes the dumbest decision of all. At no point when he's up in his little shark spotting tower does that large shape look anything like a shark.
It's
a huge
clump of seaweed.
What's fish?
Is it fish?
The guy's like, it's bluefin. It's bluefish. Yeah, it's a school of blue. Like, at no point.
So
it
was
sort of
moving
it,
through the water.
Doesn't even have the shape of a shark.
No, no. He looks through the binoculars, and it's not like he looks through the binoculars and sees a fin or something.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what'd be a better bit is he actually sees the shark.
Yeah.
But by the time he takes action, it's gone.
It's gone.
And the only thing there is that school of fish.
That's good.
Mm. Anyway,
Okay, two things. One, cyanide bullets is so big to me.
Yeah.
That kind of came out of nowhere. I'm like, I can't believe this regular sheriff is making cyanide bullets. And then two, how good do you reckon it'll feel to just fire a gun into the ocean?
Oh.
Pretty good.
It'd feel pretty good, yeah, right?
I reckon it would.
It'd be pretty good. That scene of him after he's fired all his bullets and the casings are on the beach and he's picking them up and his son comes and helps picks him up.
That's great.
Yeah. And the look on his face when he's looking at his son and he realizes,
What am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing?
I'm going to go get drunk.
Well, he gets fired, then he goes and gets drunk.
I reckon we almost could have started with that being one of the opening scenes for him, right? Just to very quickly get across that the events of the first one
have shaken him to his core.
Have shaken him to his core, right. And this guy that was a hero has very quickly dropped in status. And then from there, he needs to, one, get his status back, two, face his fears, and then we go straight into the kids.
He shouldn't even be the chief of police at the start of the movie. Hendrick should be.
No, I still want the scene where his wife and him have their nice little moment.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah. Hey, do you want to get drunk and fool around? Mm. Doesn't hit as hard as the first one.
No, it's still fun though. It's still good.
Yeah.
Nice little callback.
Yes, I do. I really do.
Yeah. This movie doesn't really have a strong story going through it, does it?
There is no real character arc.
Yeah. At one point when he guys said, oh, we're just going to get little segments of this person goes out in the water and gets attacked, and then this one, and then this one.
Yeah, the bit where you get the most thing is the kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's they should be the focus the whole way through, and Roy's kind of this grizzled old ex-cop or cop, and he then gets involved at the end.
It's quite sad, because the movie flirts with becoming quite interesting when he tries to contact Hopper.
Right.
But then he can't, because he's out of communication for 18 months.
He's out on the mission he was meant to be doing in the first one, but gave up because of the shark.
So you go, and then, oh, damn. Like, he wasn't in the credits. We knew he wasn't going
to
be
Dreyfuss also couldn't do it for either scheduling reasons or he didn't want to.
Probably because he did not want to be a part of it.
Because because once Spielberg wasn't on, he was now not on either.
But I don't think he had a good time on the first one.
No. Well, it was hard. Him and Robert Shaw famously did not get on at all.
I don't imagine anyone got on that.
No.
But the thing, the big thing was Roy also didn't want to do it. Roy Scheider didn't want to do it. And the reason he did is because he backed out of doing Deer Hunter.
Yeah, that was it.
And Universal had a thing being like, well, you owe us a movie, so you can do this.
Yeah.
And apparently, according to his biography, to get out of doing it, he just went fucking insane in a hotel whole time.
Yeah.
Got in a punch on with the director.
Got in a punch on with the director multiple times. They wrote letters back and forth to one another being like, you should apologize. And he's like, I'm never apologizing.
I've heard they later settled their differences by sitting in a room together and watching a boxing match. And then Roy said to him, I reckon our fight was better than that. And apparently it smoothed things
over. That was it.
Also, I think Roy was on record as sort of saying to the crew, he came into Jaws 2 angry because he'd just done Billy Friedkin's Sorcerer movie.
Yes.
Right.
Which apparently he fucking hated the experience of.
Okay.
And so he just came in and he was really angry and he was really just a piece of shit to everybody.
Yeah. Interesting.
No excuse.
No, that's not.
But yeah, sounds like a bit of a maniac.
Yeah.
A good actor, I've got to say.
I really actually think he's terrific because one, you don't really see that in his performance. His managing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like you can sometimes watch a movie and you go, oh yeah, I heard the actor hated the experience and you can see it on screen.
Yeah.
He's still bringing it to the movie. Like he is the best part of the movie.
He's definitely the most interesting character. But yeah, whether he should have been, I still think maybe probably the protagonist, but
yeah, but like you said, they needed to do more with him.
Yeah.
They kind of don't want to, they just don't want to do anything.
They try to have a slasher with the kids and stuff and it doesn't quite work.
They try to do too many bits of different little things.
You've got to commit to being the kids and a slasher.
Studio interference up its ass. That's what it is.
Sure.
Yeah.
On Foolish.
Yes.
There is a girl who pours gasoline all over herself.
That's very funny.
And then sets herself on fire.
I don't think she meant to. She meant to tip it and then just went, oh, my balance is wrong. Yeah. Boom.
I thought she was going to throw it on the shark.
Yeah. I think she was trying to tip it on the shark. Yes. And a wave hit or whatever, and she just tipped it on herself.
And then fires the flare gun at the shark and herself.
She, to be honest, does nearly enough to kill that shark.
Yeah, very close.
Like, it's there, it's on fire, and then there's an explosion.
She left a mark on the shark. Like, that, if you had to go out leaving that, you're like, well, at least the fucking good way my go. Name. Yeah. You know what I
By
mean?
By being a dumbass.
I mean, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
When he pulls the body out of the water, too, and that spooky jump scare of the melted, awful corpse.
Oh, yeah.
No one ever comes back from that either. There's no one like, there are teeth marks on it.
Yeah. Right.
She's like, oh, we found that burnt one. We still haven't found the other one. They never mention that they never find the other girl.
Because there's so many deaths on the water, Tom. They don't give a shit about it. Yeah. They really don't.
This is where the structure of this thing is all over the shop. Because there should have been that, but therefore, type of storytelling where we get like, oh, this thing happened. It can't be a shark. But hold on, we see teeth marks or whatever. Therefore, our guy has to, you know, that sort of thing where this is not that at all. It is, and then this thing happens, and then this thing happens, and then this other thing happens. And it's not really till the right in almost the third act that we finally get ramifications, all of it coming together. But until then, it's really just random things happening that eventually manage to meet somewhere.
Mm. Tay is Foolish, helicopter pilot. That's so funny.
Oh, that's great.
Man. I mean, yeah, but also like what? Like, what's he going to do?
Yeah, it's true.
That was his mission. Land, throw the line, drag them. Drag them from a weird angle, though. Surely he needs to land the other way around.
Like, I assume he takes off and turns around.
Okay, yeah, but it's hooked onto the front, though. It's not hooked onto the bottom of his helicopter, was it?
Well, helicopters can move omnidirectional.
Mm. I don't know if it would have worked.
Doesn't matter. I'm not he dies.
Hey, yeah. I kind of love that the shark is like, fuck you, coming down to my territory. I'll take you down. I don't care, you're a helicopter.
It was great.
That was pretty fun.
That was a good scene. Actually, fuck the helicopter.
Yeah.
Fucking
Foolish idiot.
What more could he have done, though?
Yeah.
Don't they have any bigger boats they can just send out rather than a helicopter to drag a raft away?
Like, yeah.
I guess it's the quickest option they have. But
the police boat is also tiny.
It's not big, is it?
No. The orca's so big compared to every other boat in this. He doesn't go, it's going to be a shark. We're going to need a bigger boat.
For a franchise, it's like, you're going to need a bigger boat. And then the chief's boat is just a piece of shit.
Just a little dinghy.
Well, that's the thing. He never uses it.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, he doesn't like boating.
Yes. Yeah. And he's quite bad at boats, which is good. Like, literally to the point where he crashes his boat as soon as the shark shows up.
Yeah. What a dumb crash.
I also love, too, when he's like, where are they? They're over this way. Okay, give me directions. He's like, so you need to go there? He's like, point!
Oh, no. Yeah, fantastic. I think smart. Him, obviously, once they... the one thing they did do well is they managed to set up the underwater cable. And then when he's hooked it up and it's hanging there and he's bashing it with the pole because he's heard from Shark Expert earlier in the movie that they're the rhythmic sort of sounding, much like the worms in June, apparently.
Cool. Yeah.
And he's banging it. And everyone's like, all the rest of the kids are yelling, like, get out of the way.
He's cooking. Let him cook.
That's a great hero. He's got the chef's hat on. Him just ready to cop it.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Open wide.
You watch it and you think, there's no way you're going to survive this interaction, mate. No, and he really shouldn't have, even though he's just down there while all these sparks and fire and everything. It's like,
he's in a rubber dinghy, though.
Okay, the rubber's something. Yeah, yeah.
He's cooking. Yeah, hey.
He's cooking.
Let him cook.
He's literally cooking because that shark goes up as an inferno.
It's the best.
You see flames coming out the eyes, then smoke's coming out. And they hold on it for ages. They're clearly very proud of this shot that they got.
Oh, yeah.
Because we get a lot of it.
There's a shot earlier where the shark comes through and hits a boat and you can see the side of its body bend.
As yes.
It hits
the its face when it opens its mouth, its nose goes really narrow and then pops out like a toy in a bath.
I got to tip my hat, like the jaw opening mechanic of it all. It looks cool.
It does work.
Apparently it gave them just as much trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. And as soon as you hit the water, it's funny, there's a lot of things they say not to do in movies, and one of them's like, don't work on the water and don't work with kids.
Yes.
So it's just a fucking nightmare.
I will say the Dune thing, just the idea of he does that and someone pops up out of the boat and is like, it's Nassan El Gaib,
as is written. No, that was a cool moment. The smoke and the fire coming out of the eyes, it's very clear that it's like a model shark, very and not a fake one, because it's all coming out of the gaps in the construction.
Exactly right.
It's very cool.
All right, boys, how do we do this situation?
Fine. Pretty good, I reckon, in this one.
Yeah.
We've got Shark Boy.
Shark Boy, but also we're just not idiots.
Yeah.
Like, we'd be able to get out there, we'd rescue the kids.
That's true. We faced off against the biggest stingray that's ever existed.
Yeah.
This shark, we squared got shit up. On that.
We looked it dead in the eyes and did we flinch?
Yes, we did.
No, we didn't.
We put our feet down and said, you get out of our water.
we stayed out there for hours.
We're leaving, but for an unrelated reason.
We're absolutely leaving because we feel like a beer, not because you're here.
I'm getting pruny. It's not up to you.
We were getting pruny. And it was 3 o'clock.
Yeah. It was about time to leave.
Yeah. It was like, to be fair, I reckon I was about 5 minutes away from being like, boys, I reckon.
Yeah. I think that Stingray was on a mission. He's a Scaredy Boys listener. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you guys have got 3 movies to watch tonight. You got to get back up there.
What are you doing hanging around the water for this long?
Yeah. Should have got us out early. We didn't watch three
movies. We did not. Yeah.
Okay. We'll be fine. Do we have to kill the shark? Because I don't think any of us are really feel like it deserves it. I don't know. Like,
It is weird because this one feels, I know it's going around and creating some carnage.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like it's wrecking the community.
Not the way the other one was.
It's kind of just like, everyone be a bit more cautious.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's got to be a better way.
Mm.
Don't know if it needed to die.
What do you reckon, Tom? You're the shark boy.
I wouldn't have killed
it. Well, you'll never advocate for
that. What's your solution then for getting it away from the
town? Can you lure it out to deeper waters and it won't come back?
Possibly. Sort of situation, possibly do that. Maybe like the food supply.
Once it got burned, is it just a Hollywood shark that's like, well, now I'm going to take some lives?
Once it got burned, now it's so like memorable. Can we make it a tourist attraction for the town?
Come and see Two-Face the shark.
Yeah, you know how some places
Harvey
have
Dent,
like
the Great White.
You'd have to kill the mayor though.
Okay,
get everyone, because they're not going to be on board that.
If it's good for tourism, he'll be on board that.
Well, I mean, I think it's better for tourism for people to come there and swim.
No. Come look at our half burnt shark.
Or we just invest in some shark deterrence. Not necessarily nets, but like sound equipment that repels them and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And you could have like safe areas to swim and just be like, a bit like, you know, far north Queensland where there's crocodiles everywhere.
Right.
Or Perth, you know, there are sharks. Yeah. The big one in Perth that they had to work to stop.
Sorry to cut you off. I just want to know, like, in these communities, these surfing communities, when there is a shark, they're not just going out there and killing it.
No.
What is the thing they do?
Just get out of the water.
I guess we don't have the Hollywood thing of like, oh, it's murdering multiple people.
Well, yes, because here's the thing. The shark probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
And would it like hang around? Like, obviously, it's like it's terrorizing the town.
Does
how
it get
long
a nibble?
Do they actually spend in this single
Does it get
body
a nibble
water?
From, you know, that first... the first scientists or whatever and go, okay, I've got some food here. I'm now going to stay in this area.
Potentially. I mean, that's the excuse they use in the first movie. It's just claim this area as its territory. One of the big things they had to do in WA was they had to change live export like shipping lanes because a lot of them were going through areas and the sharks would just follow the boats.
Oh, okay.
Into populated areas.
Yeah, because because they're like, when an animal dies on board, throw it overboard.
Chuck it overseas, yeah, okay.
Like, and there'd just be so much chum from these, that, you know. Among one of the many reasons that live export shipping is fucked. That
right. I mean, we can do that in reverse then. Chum the water away from the town, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. Get a big police boat.
A proper police boat. Yeah.
And just take it out.
Chum our way.
Yeah. We don't need it.
Right. In the meantime,
peaceful resolution.
Putting in some sound-based boys and stuff to deter it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Or we get a pot of killer whales.
Anyone in the town who's annoying or against it, chop them into chum.
Well, hang on.
Yeah, chop them into chum.
We're murdering people.
Yep. For the good of the town. For the greater good.
I'm
the greater good.
But I'm not as on board with this.
What are you going to use as chum?
The greater good.
The greater good. What are you going to use as chum?
I don't know. Animal bits?
Yeah, well, I like animals though.
No, I'm jumping on board. This town's full of kooks.
Yeah, it's full of
I got no time
wackos.
For them. Yeah, yeah. I do like
they gave us too much of it. But I actually don't mind the little slice of life moments we get on the beach where you're just seeing what looks like genuinely regular people having a day at the beach.
Yeah. I do love the guy taking a photo of his wife, who's a bigger lady, and he's holding the camera a long ways, and he like peers around it and then turns it horizontal.
Landscape,
oh, buddy.
Oh, mate.
That's a bit rude.
But yeah, those little moments. But then within those little moments, you get like, that person's a bit of a freak. Like, what's going on in this scene right now?
That's life though, mate. Freaks.
That's where you're like, all right, chum them up.
Yeah.
Turn him into chum.
Chum him up.
I'm on board chum. Call the boat the chum train.
All aboard.
Yeah.
Just on the front of the boat. Holy shit, I'm going to chum.
We just dexter it. We just target freaks and bad people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we only need to do it once because we just got to lure the shark away once.
Yeah. This is true, actually. It's only if a shark comes back that we've got to go for like whoever replaced the mayor, and it's also a piece of shit.
Well, we best have got mayor point two.
What if one of us is the mayor and one of us is the chief of police and one of us is in charge of the chum factory?
I think if I'm the mayor in this instance, I've had the character arc change of heart and I don't care about the bullshit anymore and I want to go out there and save my boy.
Okay.
So I turned that other, the condo developer, into chum.
Yes. Yeah, good. He deserves it. He's a prick.
Well, no, I think if we become the mayor and the chief of police, we can do whatever we want.
We control the town.
We run this
town.
We buy a second boat. So many chum trains. Yeah. We put an actual train in the water.
We accidentally cause more problems because sharks are coming. We created too much chum. Too much sharks.
We rename it Cushing Island. It's Shark Center. It's a good time for sharks.
Then it does become an attraction because it's like a horror island.
This is also Tom's greatest dream. Living on an island surrounded by sharks.
Shark infested island, Tom.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
I think I do some.
You're the hero feeding the sharks.
When I got this tattoo.
For this 200th episode?
I don't know. Yeah, for this 200th episode. When I got this tattoo of the shark, I don't know if I told you this, but the tattooer, she was like, would you ever go swimming with sharks? And no one had ever like actually asked me that question where I would have to think about it.
I've asked you that, surely. Go back to
Jaws.
I think I would.
Yeah.
Because I think my logic is like, if I get to the end of my lifetime and I had the opportunity to do it and I didn't do it, what a waste. And someone's like, what if it eats you? And I'm like, well, it probably won't though.
You'd do the free dive, not the cage.
No, I'd probably do the cage. Depending on what kind of shark. It's not going to eat you then. I would free dive with a whale shark. Like, see, thing off Perth. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
That would rule.
You wouldn't do that?
I wouldn't free dive.
Whale shark, I would.
The whale shark.
Are they okay? Awesome.
Yeah, they don't eat
meat. They don't eat people, yeah. They've got krill. They've got the big
They're plankton and stuff.
All right, fine. I'm on board. All right, let's do it.
Snorkeling out, scuba diving out. WA way. There's a certain area where there's whale sharks.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Do you have a license to do that?
Scuba.
Yeah.
Or whale shark.
Whatever, man.
Both. I don't think whale sharks have a license to be a whale shark. I think they are.
No, as in to swim with one.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Do you
have a scuba training thing?
No. I imagine for that thing, you do like a course before you go out.
Have you ever done scuba? You haven't done scuba at Great Barrier Reef or anything like that?
I've snorkeled. I snorkeled in Hawaii and there was like reef sharks and stuff. And that was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
So I've done the thing for scuba diving. Juicy. We did that in Borneo.
How long's that course?
So we did in Borneo. So it was a half a day thing. Okay, and then we're right to go out.
Yep.
And it was awesome. I truly love it. I think snorkeling also rules, to be perfectly honest. Like if I can get away with that, that's
You've just got to remember when you dive down with snorkeling, blow all the air out.
Yeah.
And when you come back up, blow it out again.
Again, yeah.
That's it.
Okay. It's cool. Snorkeling rules. Jeez. Yeah.
Learning a lot today.
There's nothing. There's something a little bit disconcerting about snorkeling though. When you've got to remember, like you're breathing and the tube's there. Mm. There's a part of your brain that's like, "What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Especially like when you're fucking a shark, you're really got to be thinking about the air.
Yeah. Geez, you got to stay locked in.
Right.
Wouldn't I?
Claspers on
for days. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the way to finish our 200th episode.
Classy as always.
Well done,
boys. And well done to you specifically, Tom, because happy man.
For taking our insults. So, 200th, well done, boys. I do want to give a hearty thank you and congratulations to both of you.
And to you, Captain.
Love it. I'm happy to keep doing another 100, maybe even two, maybe even three.
That's a lot of Jaws movies.
That's a lot of Jaws. Well, how many, you said there's
four. If we do another 300 episodes, that is 500 horror movies. Have you factored that in?
There isn't a fifth Jaws, so our 500th episode would have to be something different.
Would be the Meg.
The Meg.
Okay. Boys.
If the listeners
wanted to give us a very special, lovely, congratulatory treat for hitting 200 episodes, what would they do?
They'd head to patreon.com/scaredboys.
Very good.
Just $5 a month, Tom.
$5 a month. Oh. If they were already patrons and wanted to send us that, they don't have to do that.
No, they've already done their own.
But if you want to do it, you do that. Go to that. There's stuff there. You can also email us and be like, hey, at 3scaredboys. I love, gmail.com. Is that what it is?
Yeah, well done.
Yeah,
3scaredboys. That Patreon. There's like a whole year of beef on there too.
It is. A lot of beef.
Lots of beef.
200 episodes of beef. I have no idea.
IMDb Detective.
Yeah.
Other stuff that I've forgotten.
Small Screen Scared. Small Screen Scared.
Yeah. Underworld. There's like six Underworld episodes.
Yes. There's an Underworld recap that we did last year. Yeah,
I'm a shark boy. You're Hammer an Underworld Time. Boy.
Yeah, I'm an Underworld boy.
Hammer Time is some of the most fun we're having over there.
I know who the better boy is. The shark boy. It's a happier world.
Here's the thing though. My movies aren't any better than yours. My choices for movies.
Yeah.
Like outside of Jaws, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Again, it's not a lot. But yeah, email us, Three Scared Boys. We're on social media at Scaredy Boys or at Scaredy Boys Podcast.
That's right. And I'll also just say a bit of an emotional manipulation, I guess. This year, I've actually gone all in on writing where I'm not. I basically quit my job. So
Damo's broke.
I'm broke. Damo's real broke, actually, as it turns out. So yeah, any additional support is truly appreciated because it really does make a difference for us in making this podcast. It does take, you know, a lot of time and effort, and we love doing it, but definitely having that support and having the patrons truly, truly does make a difference. So if you have been thinking about it, jump on, have a look what's out there, and we'd love you to do it. It's awesome. Otherwise, what Tom said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And individually, I'm at Awkward Tree.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I'm at DamianRob.Rider.
But we're at the beach.
Stay scared, everyone.
I've never had sex with a shark.
Sorry.
Oh, I mean,
made love to a shark.
No,
fuck.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, all right.
Made love. Yeah. Made steamy, passionate love.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.